John 15. I'd like to speak to you for a few moments about this theme of abiding in Christ. Abiding in Christ. We find a great prayer promise in the 15th chapter of John in the 7th verse. It says, if ye abide in me, now let's read it carefully, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. You have a promise here, but it has a prerequisite for us. It's one of the many times we find the word if in the Bible. If we will do this, then God will do this. What a great promise. And when God says he'll do his part, you can mark it down. We can mark it down. God is going to do his part every time. Heavenly Father, as we take just a few minutes to look at a very familiar passage, I pray that it would put something in our hearts to consider and meditate on and think about for days and weeks that lie ahead. In Jesus' name, amen. The condition of the promise is, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you. Think about that word, abide. The word abide. Jesus uses the word for abide or abide 12 times in one form or another, from John 15:4 to John 15:16. Abide, abiding. Why the importance on abiding? Because that is the prerequisite for the blessing. How many of us believe tonight God wants to bless us? Raise your hand. God wants to bless us. Yes, God wants to bless us. We have a loving God who has so much he wants to bless us with. So that's why Jesus is saying to those that were listening to him here in John 15 and to us tonight, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Abiding in Christ speaks of communion or closeness. Our theme all year long, we will worship. We worship what or who we are close to. How close are you tonight to God? You say, well, God is holy. Yes, God is holy, but God wants us to be close. You can't abide and be far away. To abide means to be within the same room. It involves communion. It involves a closeness. I would add, abiding in Christ speaks of worship. When I got saved, when you got saved, we were made one with God. We were made one with Christ. That's called a new union. We were united. Praise the Lord for that, by the way. Never to be separated from God again. Romans chapter 8. It talks about that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. And the list is long. And you and I have gone through some of those things that are listed in Romans chapter number 8. And it's true. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We are united by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are united once and for all. That's a blessing. That happened the very moment that you and I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, that began, though, something that we call our walk with God. You cannot walk with God until you're united with Him. I don't mean to be unkind, but people that are praying to God that aren't even saved, unless they're praying for God to show them Him, to show Him to them in getting saved, if my words abide in you, and ye abide with me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what ye will, it shall be done unto you. And yet when we got saved, God not only gave us salvation and its present possession, we're saved tonight, which we're just as much in heaven tonight as we will be when we die. We're there now, literally. It's a present possession. I'm thankful for that. But here's where I believe many times we fall short. The day that we learn to walk with Him and have sweet fellowship with Him, this is now called communion. Abiding. Union will lead to communion. We're not talking about the Lord's Supper, okay? That's about the only time we think of the word communion. That's all we think of, but it has multiple meaning. Abiding with Him, communing with Him, being with Him. Boy, when we open up this book, wherever we are, we're communing with God. I mean, we have God in our hand. This is the Word of God. And it liveth and abideth forever. Abiding in Christ involves keeping in fellowship with Him so that God can work in us. Think of this. To abide someplace is to live there. To abide someplace is to live there. Some of us here tonight, maybe right now, we need to be living in the Word of God more. Oh, we're in the Word of God, but we're not living in it. If you're in it every other day, you're not living in it. If you're in it once a week, you're not living in it. To live in it means to get in the book every single day and not get in the book, but let the book get in you. That's His words in me. If my words abide in you, He said. To abide means to spend time there. To abide means to stay there. Oh, stay in the Word of God. Stay in the church of God and allowing God to draw us closer to Him, abiding. So let me give you a couple of things. John 15, verse 7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you. Number one, abiding in Christ will always include God's Word. It'll always include God's Word. Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. John 15, 10. We cannot keep His commandments if we do not know what the commandments are. And I'm not referring to the 10 ones necessarily in the Old Testament. How do we know what God, how do we know, Brother Barry, how do we know how God, Brother Henry, how do we know, Brother Joey, how do we know how God wants us to live? His book. So abiding in Christ must include God's Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth He meditate day and night. Psalm 1 and verse 2. Abiding in Christ must include the Word of God. Number two, abiding in Christ must include confession. What breaks my communion with God? Sin. It doesn't break my union. Remember that. Sin does not break my union. It breaks my communion. My sin, when I got saved, my sin was paid for in full. I applied the payment that was made on the cross for my sin before I got saved, that moment, and from there on until I die, my sin was paid for. The union is secure, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. But what it does do is it does affect my communion with God. So to abide in Christ, there must be some confession. If you are married here tonight and you have ever been at odds with your spouse, I know that's never happened to anybody in this room, and there's been something that has happened, it has not affected your union. You're still married to that individual, but it will affect your communion. You can be sitting in the same room and you can feel it. And until somebody pulls out the white flag, amen for the white flag. Not just in the battlefield, but sometime in the marriage relationship, somebody's got to pull out the white flag and just say, you know what? It's not worth it. I want to have some communion with you again. Oh, I'm thankful that I'm married to you, but I want to have some communion with you. Sin affects communion. 1 John 1:6, if we say that we have fellowship with him, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, you know what John says? We're lying. That's some strong words. You want to see that? Turn to 1 John 1, please. Look at it right for yourself. That's a powerful statement. Every word of God is powerful. 1 John 1, 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. It is impossible to have that communion, that that fellowship, as it says there in 1 John 1, 6, and holding on to darkness at the same time. Abiding with Christ involves confession. When we are abiding with perfection, it's going to reveal to us imperfection. Right? And immediately we see, boy, I'm not everything I need to be. God, would you forgive me? And by the way, our God is not waiting, is not going to hold that. And when we come to him, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Praise God. It is important that we keep our hearts and minds clean and that we confess all known sin. David said it this way in Psalm 19:12, cleanse thou me from secret faults. I think it's possible as time goes by that we forget about a sin in our life. Or else he wouldn't have said, cleanse thou me from secret faults. And I've prayed that before in my prayer life, and I need to pray it more. God, if there's something, show me what it is. I want to confess it. I don't want my communion with God to be affected by something that either maybe I've forgotten or my flesh is making me forget out of pride. Numbers chapter 15, verse 28, verses 30 and 31. And the priest shall make an atonement for the soul that sinneth ignorantly, when he sinneth by ignorance before the Lord, to make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord. That's saying if we know something in this book, we know we're not supposed to do this, and we continue to do it presumptuously. We presume on the grace of God. That's why it says, shall we continue in sin? Galatians chapter 6, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're not supposed to be sinning presumptuously because, oh, I can continue to live this way and God's going to just forgive me as soon as I say, God, forgive me. Paul also recognized how important this was. And he talks about ignorantly and unbelief in 1 Timothy 1:13. I don't have time to turn there. So abiding in Christ includes God's word. It must include God's word. It must include confession. Number three, abiding in Christ. Let's go back to John 15, please. Number three, abiding in Christ will include a desire to do God's will. Look at John 15 and 10, please. John 15 and 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. If ye keep my commandments, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, we read this earlier, and abide in his love. Oh, I think a prayer request ought to be every day. God, I want today to do, I want, please help me to have the desire to obey your commandments. Help me to have a desire today to stay in your will. We can leave here fired up for God on Sunday and praising the Lord and in God's will. And within 24 hours, the devil can really do a great work. If we yield to that temptation, there it goes. Now, we don't have to yield. We don't have to give in to the enemy. We have the ability with God's help to be victorious. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Reminds me of Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Abiding in Christ involves a desire to do the will of God. I think of Jesus in the garden in Mark 14. Father, all things are possible, in verse 36, unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. My will many times gets in the place of God's will. That's not going to allow me to abide with Christ. That's going to affect the communion. Abiding involves a desire for God's will. Number four, and lastly, verse 7 of our text. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Abiding in Christ brings answered prayer. It shall be done unto you. The better we know the Word of God, the better we can pray. The better we know the Word of God, the better we'll know the will of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. 1 John 5:14. How do we know the will of God? In the Word of God. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee. Abiding in Christ is more than just coming to the altar and saying, I want to be saved and trusting Christ as Savior. That's where it begins. That's the union. Abiding in Christ is that discipleship. It's that spiritual growth. It's that sanctification, that not only are we saved, but we don't want any part of what this world has to offer. And when you're abiding with Christ, you know what? Again, the things of this world become less and less and less and less important. Abiding in Christ is close communion with Him. This precious prayer promise of God is conditional. If we want God to answer our prayers, we must abide in Him. And again, the word abide has to do with taking up residence, spending time there. Oh, may God help us to spend more time. This precious book. May God help us to spend more time, just quiet time. Quiet time. Praying. Thinking about what we read. Thinking about what we hear in the preaching and teaching, thinking about our spiritual gift. God, what is the spiritual gift that you have for me? I want to use my spiritual gift. God, help me. Whatever it may be, this is a big need for believers. It's a big need for me. I need to abide in Christ. And not just when everything is going right. I need to abide in Christ all the time. He wants that closeness. He desires. Come unto me. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He wants that communion. And yet many times we run from Him when He's saying, come.